Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by sportsshoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Every Sunday we get together with a guest from the distance running world,
giving you an insight into the lives and training of some of the UK's best athletes and coaches.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and all major podcast streaming services.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast, where we post about our past and present guests, host giveaways and much more.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Welcome back, guys. This week's guest is New Balance Manchester athlete Izzy Fry. Izzy had a cracking winter season with a top 10 finish at the European Under-23 Cross Country Champs, a bronze medal at the British Indoors over 3,000 metres, and a win at the World University Cross Country Champs. We spoke to her before she heads off to St Moritz ahead of the track season. Enjoy.
Right, Izzy, first of all, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you on.
Thank you very much. I'm honoured.
Yeah, that's what you said. Me and Matt found that quite funny. But it's good to have you on. How are things at the moment anyway? We've just been chatting to you a little bit.
Good. Aside from the fact that I did catch COVID last week, managed to avoid it for 2 years and here we are. Caught it. But no, it wasn't bad timing, I guess. I was saying, like, if I could have picked any week in the calendar year, it probably would have been that week straight after a down week. A lot of people were like, oh, like if you had had it during your down week, would it have been better? But actually I'd rather just have a down week and be able to relax and chill and not be ill in that. So yeah, I can't be too disappointed. And yeah, hopefully all is good now. I'm testing negative. So onwards.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, are you feeling all right? Like, were you particularly ill with it? You know, were you bedridden or were you just kind of all right?
No, like it's been fine, to be honest. I think the worst, I had like sore throat and a snotty nose for 2 days. That cleared up. And then I have had like quite a tight chest, which has been a bit of a pain. But I guess that's the whole thing with COVID, is it does hit your chest. So just got to be really careful building back up now, listen to my body and not try and put myself in a hole so I regret it a month down the line. But yeah, going to be careful and should be all good, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are building back out of COVID, you know, whether it was a month ago when they got it, but cases seem to be quite high at the moment anyway.
Oh my God, yeah. People have it right now, so
yeah,
I'm not the only one. Makes me feel a bit better.
Yeah, so how have you, you know, have you got that far ahead yet? Have you planned to kind of build out of it, you know, safely in a way? Like what's your plan to recover?
No strict plan, to be honest. I think it is just a case of taking it day by day. So I tested negative yesterday and tested negative today and feeling like pretty good. So did a 20-minute run this morning, which was fine. So kind of just going to ease in from there. Probably won't be sessioning for a while, but yeah, focus on the easy running, make sure that that's all right first before we do anything else. But no strict plan. I am heading to St Moritz in 2 weeks' time. So as long as I'm kind of normal by then, I don't want to get to the point where I'm like, is this altitude or is this COVID? I want to kind of get to a good point before then. So 2 weeks to just, yeah, take it easy and see what happens. Listen to the body, really.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned earlier that it is almost, if you had to pick a time, it would be a good time. It is a weird time of year at the moment, isn't it? That transition between the winter season and then going into track season. What are your kind of thoughts in general just about this time of year? Like what's going through your head at the moment?
Yeah, like you said, I think this week in the calendar year I probably would have chosen to have got COVID, so I'm not too disheartened. Like, it's obviously frustrating, but it's not the worst time in the world to have it. Still managed to have a good winter season, get my cross-country races in, get in an indoor season, have my down week, and then kind of got struck by the dreaded COVID, and obviously got plenty of time to build up towards the summer. So it's not an awful time to have it. And yeah, like you said, this time of year is really weird. Like, some people are still racing, some people are having a big bit of time off, some people are already started their summer season, like track races and stuff. So everyone, I guess it is very individual. So yeah, not kind of worrying too much about what other people are doing and just focusing on myself and yeah, knowing what I need to do to build up to my summer season.
What is, you know, what's the targets for your summer season? Because I know some people will be opening up very soon. We got Peyton, Jordan or Stanford or whatever in a couple of days. You know, how do you remain calm and kind of, you know, patient, I guess? Because have you put back your season a little bit? Are you going to open up later than you thought? Is it COVID or is it kind of all still going to plan still?
So because I am going to St. Moritz in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to be there for a month anyway. So races weren't going to start for another 7 to 8 weeks anyway. So I've kind of got that time to play with. Obviously really exciting being able to watch people race and see what they can do at this time of the year, but that was never the plan for me anyway. So yeah, I think like for me, I'm going to open up with a 5k after coming back from St. Moritz, and then possibly do a 3k and nothing else really planned from there, just kind of see how I get on. But no, really excited for it. I think, yeah, hopefully it's going to be a good summer. Even if I don't achieve my goals personally, I think just the summer season with the three major champs, it's going to be really cool. I felt like everyone upped their game last year with the Olympic year. I just feel like the same is going to happen again. And we're just going to have these, yeah, mad times and, yeah, some really good racing. So it's going to be exciting.
What are your goals then?
Big question.
Share them. You can share them.
I don't really know. Like, I've not actually sat down and kind of talked these through or written them down. I'm sure I will kind of get to that point soon. But there's no, obviously, age group champs. So it's not like I'm aiming for an under 23 team or whatever. The only champs that are on are senior teams. So, I mean, it would be amazing if I could make one of those teams, but that's not really like something that I'm necessarily aiming for. I want to see how my season goes. And if it's looking likely that I'll run a standard, then yeah, it's never like impossible, I guess, but it's not something that I'm going to say like, oh, if I don't make a team, it's a failure of a season. That's not going to be the case. I kind of want to use this year as a bit of a transition year and see if I can try and get those times that senior athletes are running. And if I can kind of use this year as a bit of a step, that would be great. But yeah, if some miracle happens and I do end up making a team, like, won't be disappointed at all.
Yeah, I guess, like, you know, years like this don't come around too often for people of your age, you know, under 23s, under 20s, where they have, you know, at your level, where they can have a season where they just kind of focused on completely themselves. They don't have a championship as such to stress over.
Yeah,
so I guess you can develop a little bit more in that sense.
Yeah, definitely. Like, obviously, the aim is going to be to run PBs, probably from 1500 up to 5K. So if I can do that, and if I'm happy with those times personally, then nothing else really matters. But if I am looking like I'm, yeah, going to aim for a standard or perhaps, yeah, running very, very well and I do make a team, then that will be absolutely amazing. But it's not something that I'm absolutely like, if I don't do that, it's going to be a massive failure. So I don't know, it's quite exciting, I guess, not having those massive, like, pressures on this season. It can go one way or the other, so yeah, it's exciting. We'll see.
Yeah, and I was gonna say it must take a lot of the pressure off, because I think that is the one drawback with, I guess, age group camps sometimes, is that there's always a age group team to try and make, and particularly someone like yourself who's one of those top age group athletes, you're expected to make those teams.
Yeah exactly. Like, I don't know if I'm expected to make them, but yeah, I think the last probably 3 years or so, I've felt like that has been a big aim of mine. Every time a champs does come around, if I don't make that team, it does feel like a bit of a failure. So yeah, now I'm in a position where that's not really the case. So yeah, hopefully I can just use it to my advantage really and just race stress-free without having to worry about making standards and stuff. But like I say, it would be nice if I did.
Yeah,
it's cool to have it in the pipeline. I mean, are you still going to work on, you know, actual racing, or is it just going to be a season of kind of time trials as such? Or because, you know, racing against seniors can be a little bit of a different ballgame, especially like on the European circuit and stuff as well. So do you have that plan?
Definitely. Like, I think that's one thing, that's one reason why I did an indoor season, to be honest, was just learning a bit more about racing. That's one thing I wasn't very good at. So the indoor season's definitely helped with that. I feel like I've learned a lot just about racing itself. So hopefully I can take that forward through to the summer. But again, if I can kind of replicate the indoor season and learn a lot, learn more about racing, especially against the senior age group, and can take that forward to years to come, then that would be great. That's always going to be a positive.
Well, look, you've mentioned that indoor season, and I think overall your winter itself was just an incredible season. Like top 10 under 23s Eurocross, won the World Uni Games, cross country champs, and you got a bronze at the British Senior Indoors as well. Like, could it have gone much better for you?
I don't think so. No, like actually, to be honest, an indoor season was never in the plan going into the cross country season. I obviously wanted to make the European under 23 team. Was really happy with my performance there. I feel like that's one of the very few races where I've like emptied the tank. It's not often where I kind of finish and go, okay, I couldn't have done much more there, no regrets. So I was really happy with that, which kind of gave me quite a bit of confidence. And yeah, Steve sat me down and was like, do you want to do a 5K? I think it was literally like the beginning of January. And I was like, on the track, indoors, oh my God, no, like no way, no way. And then, yeah, he convinced me in the end and I really enjoyed it. And I said, okay, let's do a proper indoor season. I didn't do loads of races, but I think I did maybe four or five. And each time I just felt like I was like I really got the ball rolling and I was like, oh, I'm loving, I really, really enjoyed it. And I learned something new each time I stepped out onto that track. So yeah, that kind of came to as a bit of a surprise actually doing an indoor season, but yeah, loved it. And then with the World University cross country champs, that again was not in the plan. I didn't think I'd actually be able to do it because I did graduate last year. But it worked out that so it's this rule that you're allowed to kind of do two at in your time at university, but because a lot of English university programs are only 3 years, if you graduated the year before, you are allowed to race the year after you've graduated. So got a call literally the day before that we had to hand in the forms that say you want to like basically apply for it. So again, called up Steve and I was like, I've been asked to do this, like shall I do it? Probably not, like I'll obviously be doing an indoor season. And it was 10k cross, so I was like, probably won't want to do that. But again, got convinced that it would be a good opportunity to race rather than anything else, just to finish the season on. And yeah, no regrets again. So was pretty pleased with that one.
Yeah, it was a good run. The course was obviously a lot different to probably what you're used to in the UK. But I didn't realize it was a 10K cross. So yeah, that's like a big, big step up for the girls.
Yeah, never done a 10K cross. I think the longest I've done probably like two or three 8K crosses. Yeah. So yeah, big change, especially going from 3K indoors. But yeah, just kind of had to, again, no pressure. Like I hadn't done cross since Eurocross, so it had been a few months. There wasn't any pressure on me going in thinking like, I had no idea what the standard was going to be like going into it. There was no start list, there was no nothing. So it was kind of just go out, see how you feel, race. And yeah, it ended up going quite well. So yeah, pretty happy.
Is that an example of, you know, sometimes people, like you say, they're doing an indoor season and that's all they do? So you've got, you know, do you believe you can do indoor and you can do cross? You know, if you're in good shape, you're in good shape. You can do whatever race gets thrown at you. Like you say, you're very flexible and it seemed to pay off.
Yeah. Like if you'd asked me 6 months ago, I probably would have said no, because yeah, I've done an indoor season. I'd probably say there's no way in hell you could go from indoors and then straight to a 10K cross. But yeah, going through what I went through the last few months, my indoor season was based purely off strength and endurance. I didn't really touch any speed. So it's not like I probably was in better 10K shape than I was 3K shape. And I was kind of running those 3Ks off that strength, which is, yeah, shows that you don't have to be ripping 200s to, yeah, run quick over 3K, 5K, whatever. So yeah, I'd definitely say like, if you're fit, you're fit. You can mix it up, do what you want to do, do what like excites you to get on that start line, rather than feeling like you have to stick to a certain program or yeah, stick to cross country or stick to indoors. Yeah, do what you want to do, I guess.
I guess mentally as well, was it just like a nice break, something different each week? And obviously, you know, you won that race, which you probably would have never seen yourself on the start line of.
Yeah, exactly that. I had no intentions of doing that, not even realizing that I was allowed to do it. So when I did get the opportunity and was eventually convinced that it would be a good idea, I think, why not? It's just, again, it's another experience racing abroad. Why would I not take it? And I'm not going to get that chance again now. So I'm very glad that I did get to go.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's a lesson for all athletes. We sometimes get stuck in this grand plan that you come up with. And I think, you know, the lesson is just, you know, yeah, be flexible and adaptable, and you can often surprise yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
And look, like you mentioned the training and stuff, and I believe it was your first full winter as part of Team New Balance Manchester, because I think you signed a year ago, is it now, probably?
Yeah, it's coming up to a year. I think it's literally 11 months almost to the day. So yeah, once we're in St. Moritz, it will pretty much be a year, which is crazy. It's gone by so quickly.
Yeah, so talk about that if you can a bit, because obviously your first full winter, and you kind of mentioned the strength element that's enabled you to perform at different distances.
Yeah, like, so previously I was coached by Mick Woods at St. Mary's University, was there for 3 years. That worked really well for me. Mick was a great coach for me. I feel like he understood me very well, didn't run me into the ground at all, was not on high mileage. Yeah, really enjoyed my time there. Didn't particularly want to do a master's, didn't really want to go into the real world. So when the opportunity came up to come here, I came to visit, but yeah, couldn't really say no. It's an opportunity of a lifetime, really, to be a professional athlete and not have to worry about having a job alongside of it if I didn't want to. So yeah, an opportunity that I definitely couldn't say no to, and thank God it has worked out. Obviously moving up north was a big thing, becoming a northerner. But yeah, no, it's been really good, and the training suited me really well. It has changed a fair bit, like from uni. We did Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday sessions. Always had a rest day in the week, whereas now it's Tuesday and Friday sessions, so it's a lot less intense. We do a lot of easy running, and when I say easy, like, it's very easy running around here. It's pretty hilly, so yeah, you can't really run quick on your runs anyway. And the sessions are super controlled. Ollie, you've come to watch a few times, so you'll know, like, yeah, we're not ripping the sessions at all. It is super controlled. I feel like that has been what's built my strength, just consistency. Like, I've managed to put weeks and weeks and weeks together, and that's basically, yeah, what's built that consistency and that strength, which is now showing in my races. So yeah, it's been great. I've loved every minute of it since being here.
Yeah, I want to talk how it came about a little bit, because obviously I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but very few people your age, you know, graduating from uni at the age of 21, actually go on to join a professional group and become a professional within the UK. And to be honest, very few do it anyway. But like you say, you know, you joined probably the only professional group really in the UK. So how did it come about at St. Mary's? You obviously went and visit, you know, you spoke to Steve and stuff, but what do you think it was Steve saw in you that he kind of wanted you over, I don't know, you know, someone else?
So I had previously signed with New Balance that, I want to say, November. So I was kind of already within the brand. Mm-hmm. So the head of New Balance, Pete Riley, I guess, knew about me. Just from that, and my agent Sam Don.
It's all Jono. All the hard work.
Yeah, I think Pete, I don't know who it was. Do you know Kev Quinn? It was kind of through, like, just knowing people kind of thing. He mentioned to Pete about me. Well, he already knew about me, but kind of just spoke about the fact that, yeah, I was looking for options. It just kind of came about that Steve was very interested. I think it was kind of the first year that I'd made my first GB team, under 20s on the track. I guess saw a bit of potential in me. And yeah, from there, just had a few Zoom calls, asked to visit. Had lots of chats with Pete and Steve, and yeah, Steve's philosophy, I just thought would work really well with how I work, and I think it just all clicked. And
Totally. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's an opportunity you can't really turn down when you have that, you know, on that offer on paper, and or kind of, yeah, like you say, trying to do a master's or something just to hang around in Teddington, because it's kind of a no-brainer. But how have you integrated with the group, because it is a group which is, I mean, the average age is, I don't know, it's a lot older than you yeah. it, for example, you know. So how have you integrated in the group? Because you are, you know, by far and away the youngest. Is that hard? Because like you say, you're living with them.
No, it's not been hard at all. I feel like I just have a load of parents that look after me. So it's great. Well, at the moment, currently in the house, it's just Adam, Craig, Yip Vastenberg and me. So there's actually only three of us in the house.
Right.
Maybe soon to be four. But we'll keep that one. yeah, that is yeah, gossip there.
But, you can tell us off there.
and then outside the house, they're literally all within like a mile away, is Johnny, Mella, Ross Millington and Kieran McGeehan. And they're literally around the house most days anyway. Yeah, honestly, like we all just get on so well. It's super chill. I feel like some people might think an elite athlete house like super intense. It's not at all. It's super super chill. Yeah, slotted in perfectly, and it's yeah, been great. Nothing that's not been easy, if you know what I mean. So yeah, we're even just coming down to like dinner time, we have a rotation where we each cook each night. Yeah, it's super nice. Like I get on really well with all of them.
No, that's cool. And like the group dynamic, obviously you come from McWoods where there was a big group. Now you kind of train in, you know, twos and threes or maybe even alone for key sessions and stuff. What do you prefer?
I'm not going to lie. I like it as it is. I really like the, I just feel like in a uni environment, and this isn't a bad thing about McWoods. I'm just saying like, with massive groups you probably don't get that individual side to it. It's kind of everyone does the same thing and you probably don't get as much attention, as it were. Whereas yeah, in our sessions it's yeah, the coach knows exactly how you're feeling, like the plan is very individual. So yeah, towards the summer Kira will start doing slightly more 1500 based stuff. We'll probably work towards more the 5K stuff. So yeah, I really like it as it is. It's working really well for me.
But if you could have a choice, do what you're doing, but you know, a group of 10, 15 people, do you reckon you'd still prefer to train in twos and threes? Like you say, you get more out of yourself that way?
It's a tricky one because since I have been in the team, Kira and Yip have been a little bit injured. So there has been periods of time where I have been training on my own. And at that point, it probably would be nice to have three or four others that you can train with and you're not left on your own whilst other people are injured. So I think that side of things, having a few more people would be great. And that might be the case. It might grow. But I don't think like a massive group would necessarily be a benefit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and your performance. Yeah, no, totally understand.
For sure. You mentioned obviously like the whole moving to the north thing, becoming northern. Are you surprised with how well you settled in? Because it must be quite nerve-wracking completely moving to Manchester and just saying, look, I'm gonna move in with, I don't know how well you knew the guys before you moved in with them, but I'm gonna move in with people I don't know and just run essentially.
Well, yeah. You're talking like Manchester's another country, mate.
No, well, I can't really complain because I have got Adam from Scotland, Yip from the Netherlands, Kira from Ireland. Like, my journey was there, so I can't really complain about that. But it's funny because it takes me 5 hours to get home and it takes Yip 5 hours to get home, yet she's in a different country, like door to door. So yeah. I don't know. I guess that bit is quite hard, a 5 hour train journey. It is like when you want to go home, it's not like an easy just nip home, have dinner with mum and come back. That's not the case. But yeah, when I came to visit, I don't know, I just felt really at home. It was a really like easy, I don't know, just way, I don't know, it just felt really right. And that's why I wanted to visit, just to make sure that that was the case, because it could have been the complete opposite. I could have hated it. Yeah, and like you say, moving up north, honestly, if you had asked me a year ago, would you move up north? I'd be like, oh my God, no way. Manchester, no way.
True Southern.
We're actually not like we're not in Manchester. We're very much on the outskirts in a place called Marple, which is very close to the Peak District. And honestly, it's lovely. It's a really lovely area. So yeah, I guess I've kind of gone from countryside down south to countryside up north. So it's not much different.
Yeah, no, that is one thing. You know, I think the New Balance Manchester have, I've heard their training locations. Well, I've heard from Ollie, their training locations are sublime, you know, brilliant places to run and train. And I guess you almost, it's almost a benefit in the sense that you don't really have those distractions as well. You haven't got friends pulling you like you would maybe back at home, pulling you to go do loads of things. So I guess you can really like lock in, and it's almost like a full-time training camp, right?
So honestly, that's how I describe it. Like not in an intense way, not like this year, but just in a, you know, when you go to like Font for a training camp and you just, you're super chill, you switch off and you don't have to like overthink much. Honestly, that's what my life has been the past year. And yeah, some people might hate it. Some people might feel like they need to fill their day with a job or whatever. But for me, I'm pretty good at doing nothing. So it's working well for me right now.
Well, look, they say that's one of the hardest things about being a pro athlete, and if you've nailed that down, you must be in a good place.
Yeah, I've certainly nailed the ability to do nothing, so I'll take that.
Yeah, but you've mentioned Steve a lot, and we've mentioned Steve as well, and we've had him on the podcast before. Obviously, a couple of days ago, got announced that that he's taken up the role as head of world class endurance at British Athletics. So obviously, congrats to him. But look, you've mentioned gossip already. Have you got any gossip for us about what's happening with New Balance Manchester and things like that? We won't force you to say it, but
I guess it can't be avoided. But obviously, like, absolutely delighted for him. He's gonna be a great man for the job. Yeah, I don't think there's a better guy for it, so yeah, super happy for him. And I think he's gonna make some great changes within the sport, which I can't wait to see over the next however many years. But don't get me wrong, absolutely gutted. Like, I joined the team to be coached by Steve. Obviously, there's a lot of other benefits around being in the team, but yeah, like, Steve, he brings a type of energy that I haven't seen from any other coach, or not many people, to be honest. Like, he just has this ability to bring such a positive vibe, really happy whenever you come to training. And yeah, his belief in me over the last year has been something that, yeah, I don't take for granted. So to not have that anymore is obviously going to be a shame. It's going to be weird, but it's not to say we're not in absolutely brilliant hands with Helen Clitheroe. And I'm so excited for what's to come for us too over the next however many years. So just thankful that we've, yeah, got her to fall back onto, and super excited for that. But yeah, it's going to be weird. It's strange, but it's not necessarily all doom and gloom and a bad thing, because I do think, yeah, the team's going to be absolutely fine with Helen Clitheroe, and it's going to be a great journey. So very much looking forward to that.
Mm. Yeah, and you're someone who, you know, you transitioned from Mick to Steve, where the training was quite different. Helen's obviously been around. You've obviously been getting to know her. Will the training be much different, or will she just try and really kind of stick with and replicate what Steve was doing pretty much?
So I think, like, over the next 6 months, it's gonna stay pretty similar. Especially like the summer being so big and a lot of people trying to make teams this summer, there's no point making massive changes now. But yeah, come like post summer, who knows what Helen's gonna throw at us. I think that their philosophies are very similar. I don't think there's going to be much change anyway, but it'll be quite exciting to see, like, just you know, the old session that she just throws in that you think, oh, I've seen that one before. So yeah, I think that'll be cool. But in general, I don't think much is going to change. Like, we're still going to stick to the same Tuesday, Friday. So yeah, I think, I don't know, it's going to be exciting. It's obviously, yeah, a bit of a shock, and I'm kind of gutted, but at the same time, it's kind of bittersweet, really. Like, it's a good thing, but it's a bad thing. But no, it's not going to change too much. So yeah, really looking forward to the future.
Well, I think it's a huge step forward for female coaches as well, you know, because she's leading now a professional group. do you think you'll be able to maybe connect with her a little bit more? But, you know, being a female yourself, or was that never an issue, like with you and Steve? You know, you and Steve, there was no topic off limits almost.
No, Steve and I had a great relationship. Still do.
Yeah.
ending that. There was no, like, topic off limits, I guess. It was great. And that's what is so hard, is that we have built such a good relationship over the last year. And my results have been great because of that. Mm. But over the last 2 months, like, me and Helen have also built a really great relationship. And I know that that's only going to get better from here. But as you say, like, being a female, it might mean that topics are a bit easier to talk about. So yeah, that's not a bad thing at all. And I think she's obviously been there and done it. She knows exactly what it takes to be at the top of, yeah, your sport and also win medals at a very high level. She knows what she's doing. So just to be able to tap into that knowledge is going to be great. And I think, again, like I said, learning to race, she knows how to race. So that's going to be, yeah, a big positive. Taking that forward.
Yeah.
100%.
It must have been nice. Obviously, you'll have had 3 months of Helen and Steve before Steve goes as well, rather than just kind of losing one and then and getting someone in then.
Yeah, that would have been difficult, I guess, like having someone that you like, what's the word? I don't know, like, they have a lot of impact in my life. Steve has a lot of impact in my life at the moment. If that was just to go and then I had to quickly gain what I had with Steve with Helen, that would have been difficult. But yeah, thankfully that's not the case. So already built a really good relationship with Helen. So yeah, it's, yeah, like I said, it's only going to get better from here. So all is good in the hood.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I think it's really exciting for the team as well. And like you say, you know, the possibility more people might join, more younger people might join as well. So it might be almost a bit of a development squad. I think it's quite exciting. But, you know, being a UK fan of distance running, because, you know, obviously you joined young, did you discuss like long-term goals? I'm interested to see if New Balance or, you know, Steve or Helen now actually discuss, you know, this is where we think you can be in 5 years, or is it just kind of a rolling year, you know, just see where you're at and evaluate year on year?
I guess a bit of both. Like, when I first joined, Steve always said, look, it could take 1 to 2 years for you to have any sort of result. Like, don't think that because you're coming into the team means that you're just suddenly going to get really good really quickly, make teams. Mm-hmm. That's not like the goal for Steve. It was always long term. He's always said, we're thinking in 4 year cycles or in 2 years time. We're not thinking right here, right now, you need to get this good this quick, we're going to up your mileage. And because I was never on much, it's not like he's done everything within 1 year. It has been a kind of long-term process. He has kind of said to me, like, you're going to be a 10K runner, you're going to end up doing the longer stuff, which I hate to hear. I don't want to hear that right now. Doing 10K on the track is not appealing to me at all, but I know that eventually I probably will end up doing it. God knows what distance I'm going to have to keep going up to. I don't want to think about that. So not really spoken, like, I guess, about that. But yeah, my whole plan this last year has always been development long term. It's not been like instant results. So it's nice that I've had those results, but I know that, yeah, the whole plan is long term anyway. So I guess that's quite exciting.
Yeah, you mentioned your mileage. Do you mind sharing with us what you were on kind of at uni and maybe before uni as well, and then what you're up to now? And is it right that you've done your first double day in the past like few months as well?
Yeah. Before uni, it's funny because like I didn't keep count of mileage. I wouldn't be able to tell you what I was actually on. I want to say like 30 maybe. Maybe I genuinely don't know. Like, I was doing
That's mad to hear.
Not much.
Even that in itself, I think, is good for, if there's any younger athletes listening, the fact that you weren't even counting it is probably a good sign. And not necessarily it's all on the individual, but if you're not counting your mileage and you're listening, it's perfectly fine. Like, you see where it can take you.
Yeah, like, I didn't have a Garmin, I didn't really know what it was all of, like. I remember coming to uni and people having different shoes to session in, and I just had my Ultra Boost. So I was like, yeah, let's go. Like, didn't get changed or anything. So yeah, I guess at uni, I learned a lot. I was very naive. Mm. And even with Mick, I remember like after the first year, him just being like, why are you not putting your weekly total in your training diary? And I was like, why do you need to know that? Like, does it matter? Like, I had no idea that that was a thing, that you'd count the miles per week. So I guess it wasn't until second year that I even really knew what the number kind of meant. I don't know what I was on. I want to say like 40, possibly. Mm. Again, he didn't bump that up much. By third year, probably about 50, between like 45 and 55. Mm-hmm. But 55 was like probably once in a blue moon. And then coming here, the last year, I think, you know, when you can like see what your average was for the year, it was like 53 for the average for the year. But yeah, tried to like, obviously got up to like 55 as like a bit more of a average. And yeah, over this past winter, tried to run some 60s and added a double. So on Saturdays, I do 30 minutes and 30 minutes. So instead of like doing like a double on the end of a big day, I'm trying to like introduce that by doing 8 miles in the day, but you kind of split that up. And then you're done the odd one after a session, but it's not like fully in the program yet. but yeah, like it's creeping up, but it's still not huge. I don't really know what's like massive at the, like for females, but yeah, between, it would be nice to average like 60 something, but yeah, that's kind of how I've, over the last few years, it's yeah, gradually picked up, but no, feeling good with what I'm doing at the moment. So
that's like a key difference, you know, when you refer, you know, you're telling us you've been doing quite a lot of strength training and stuff, that doesn't, you know, I think some people hear that and they go, oh, she's just doing loads of miles, but it's not the case at all. It's just your sessions are more strength based, like they're a lot more aerobic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I do think I'd rather put weeks and weeks and weeks of 55 to 65 mile weeks than try and run 70 mile weeks and end up running them for 4 weeks and then get injured. Not to say like, I don't know if I'm injury prone, I don't know, but it's more, I've always had that idea of wanting it to be long term too, and which is why Steve's philosophy and Helen's philosophy has kind of aligned with mine. So just again thinking long term, but slowly picking it up.
I think it's just interesting to hear the way you talk about it and the way that you're not putting pressure on the numbers, because we see so many people, particularly like in your event, like you mentioned, you don't want to go to the 10K, but you are probably at your 5K is your main event these days. And for a 5K runner, you're not putting too much stress on those numbers, and it's refreshing to hear.
Yeah.
Look, you mentioned quite a bit throughout the pod already, you're going to St. Moritz soon. How does that sit in terms of your program? Obviously, you've mentioned it's strength orientated and altitude is a massive factor in that. Will this be your first altitude trip?
So I went to St. Moritz last year.
Yeah.
As I joined the team, it was kind of like the icebreaker, the bonding trip. And also went to Font-Rameau my first year of uni. But looking back, that I felt like I didn't run at all. But thinking back to then, I was literally probably on like 40 miles a week. But that was a great first experience. I loved that trip to Font. So super excited for this one. I feel like it will be good to, especially after now being hit with COVID, get away and just go back to basics, nothing crazy, just getting in a good 4 weeks of base training, I guess.
Yeah, is St. Moritz your favorite place then? We know it's a lot of people's favorite place. Would you put that down as your favorite training location?
I guess I've not been to like, I've literally just been to Font and St. Moritz. I did really like St. Moritz. It's the price though, isn't it? Like, you can get a hot chocolate from Font however much. St. Moritz, that's triple the price. But no, beautiful. Like it's yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I think it is. Look, you mentioned about, you know, rocking up to sessions and just running in one shoe. Obviously now you're New Balance, you've got the luxury of playing around with your shoes. You're probably changing your shoes up all the time. Yeah, what are your go-to shoes at the minute?
Okay, so mileage shoe. I love the 1080. 1080 all the way. Cushions, like, yeah, just super nice. I get on with it really well. I've also just added in the Fresh Foam Moors into the rotation for my doubles, which happen very rarely, but I like to call that my double shoe. That's like super, super cushioned.
Right.
Just that, yeah, extra bit of cushion for those miles.
Hence the name, Fresh Foam Moor.
Exactly. And then, so for sessions, I wear the Rebels. So Fuel Cell Rebels. They're a non-carbon shoe.
Yeah. So you don't wear carbon in sessions then, really?
I do.
Okay.
So either the Rebel or the RC V1s, which have like quite a grippy sole.
Nice. I
really like them. So yeah, if I want carbon, I'll whack them on. And then I try and stay in the Rebels for most things. But if I'm running a bit quicker on the track, I'll stick the RCs on. But yeah, the Rebels, honestly, I couldn't recommend more. I love them. Mm. Just super simple, not fussy. Yeah, really great shoe. And then racing wise on the track, the LDX 5000, is that what they're called? Yeah. The carbon shoes, absolutely love them. Like, they're a very good shoe. Again, they have got a lot of cushion, and I do feel like, yeah, my feet just prefer that extra cushion. So yeah, really like them. What else do I wear? That's pretty much it. I guess for road, the RC V2s, which again, have a bit more cushion.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, it's some selection, and I guess you probably wear some slides in there for bumming around in.
Yeah, of
course. There we go.
Yeah, you got those new spikes. Did you get them just for your sub 9 3K indoors as well, just in time?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, you're right. I actually had them last year, but in
red. Okay.
So I think a lot of people thought that they were like a newer version of that, but
they look like a newer version.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, the protos last year, did you?
Yeah, wore them. I think they were like a sample shoe. Wore them last year. Yeah, the red ones, but yeah, same again. But the colorway this year is really nice, so not complaining.
does it ever get boring opening a new pair of, like, when they send you a new pair of shoes, new spikes, you just, you know, like, no, like a kid when you get your first pair, always excited to get
like
first
every time, I guess.
Look, Izzy, just to finish up, we've got some quick fire questions for you. So they're not too difficult. Basically, they're just your favorites. So basically, favorite workout.
Tempo.
Ooh, what kind of like just a straight through tempo, or?
This isn't gonna end up quick fire, but.
Well, to be fair, that's my fault completely.
Well, it's because I feel like I never did tempo before I went to uni, and then when I got to uni, our tempos were always broken up, never longer than like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just really enjoy just like locking into a pace and ticking off. Don't get me wrong, I do like a track session as well, but yeah, I feel like getting a tempo every now and again is quite like it.
Okay, that's my bad. We'll get back to quick fire now anyway. Favorite track you've run on?
Miramas.
Favorite place to run?
Emirates.
Of your selection, which running shoes favorite?
I'll go with 1080.
Pre-race meal or snack?
Usually just porridge.
Post-race meal or snack, more importantly?
If it's just an easy McDonald's.
Stop there. What's the option?
What's the order?
Yeah, what's the order? Yeah, that's what I meant. What's the order?
I would go quarter pounder, the chips.
Jeez, did not have you down for that, Izzy.
Yeah.
But I'd you down for chicken nuggets, mate.
Yeah, I was going to say chicken nuggets.
I'm a cheeseburger.
Favorite non-running activity, if you have one.
Stretching.
I'd probably say like the classic, like going out for a coffee with. Well, actually, again, not quick fire, but I actually don't like coffee. I like just going out
for a coffee, even though you don't like coffee.
Well,
that was awesome anyway. So we can get onto that now because every runner is obsessive coffee, and I can't lie, like, I'm a bit part of that, but I'm surprised. There's not many runners out there who
do you take caffeine?
Yeah, I do. I've learned that it's not actually much caffeine. I take like an OTE caffeine gel. I think it has 50 mg. I don't think that's very much, is it?
No, that's not. Yeah, there's probably people snubbing that, mate.
Yeah, but I take that for a race. Coffee-wise, I don't know what it is. It's the actual like taste of it I really don't like. I even tried a mocha the other day and hate it. I'm sure eventually I will, but I'm actually quite liking the fact that I'm not addicted to it and feel like I need it most days.
Okay.
I'll put it that way. Also, the bank account. It's enjoying the fact that I'm not a coffee addict.
Yeah,
you're not reliant on it. I mean, probably in a house of runners, you probably have a really good machine, surely.
Yeah, they do. Every morning, I can
grinding away.
Well, to be fair, at least you're just having a gel, because I've heard of people who don't drink coffee or runners who just slam Red Bulls all the time. So,
oh no, I've never done that.
But there's nothing wrong with that. If you want a sponsor of a Red Bull.
Yeah, fair play. Get a badge on your vest like Mondo. But anyway, Izzy, it's been fantastic to have you on the podcast, and thank you very much for coming on, and best of luck for your trip and the rest of the season.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great. Thank you very much.